Good evening, and welcome to the Day of the Mystic Show. This is episode number 672 with K9 Spirit Guide, channel, and author, Heather Lee Strom. This is March 25th, 2024, from Littleton, Colorado. If you've signed up with Blog Talk Radio, you can see and join in the chat. Please consider signing up for show announcements through my website at www.davethemystic.com. Our guest tonight is Heather Lee Strom, and you thought your dog was here just to be your loving support and joyful playmate, but your pup is potentially much, much more than that, according to Heather. Your pet could be the physical conduit for your canine spirit guide. In her groundbreaking book, Canine Spirit Guides, The Healing Power of Man's Best Friend, Heather reveals that these unique spiritual energies are here to guide us on our journeys of healing, growth, wisdom, transformation, spiritual evolution, and ascendancy. And the ones that choose to enter your life through your pet are divinely matched to you to teach you what your soul is calling to learn. But Heather Lee would only discover this for herself and for humanity after having passed through many decades of a deeply difficult life, beginning with a verbally abusive and emotionally absent father, then poverty, crippling accidents, loss, and more. Fueled by sheer determination and will, pain, and repressed rage, she nevertheless created three highly successful careers in dog training, physical therapy, and cycling. Today, Heather Lee Strom will share the story of how her canine companions each came to her with specific gifts at a specific time to move her toward healing and a joyful life, and how she became the channel through which the canine spirit guides are bringing her messages and frequency of healing and transcendence to all of us. We will be discussing her new book, Canine Spirit Guides, The Healing Power of Man's Best Friend. Welcome, Heather Lee. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is fun to have you on. This is a whole new angle on something that I've never heard before or seen before. So kudos on having this brand new approach in the metaphysical realm.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Pioneer.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your background. Just sort of give us the overview.
Okay. Well, I spent 30 years in the medical profession, working on the physical body, you know, as a physical therapist and a massage therapist, and I did functional medicine even. And I just never really felt like I fit in, you know, I just felt like a square peg in a round hole, and I just knew there was something more to life. There just had to be something more. And so I just was very restless and unsettled and always searching. And I was always asking questions. You know, I had a rough life as a young person, as a child, and I didn't really see the point in life. I didn't find that humans were nice people. I didn't have any fun, happy childhood experiences to look back on. And so I just kept asking, what's the point? Why am I here? I really don't like it here. I kept complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had my dogs. I've always had dogs from childhood. And I've always had my dog training. And I became a professional dog trainer and international competitor. And so my dogs kind of helped me get through it all. But I just kept asking for more. And when my favorite dog died, Tori, she's the first dog in the book, when she died in 2009, it sort of set off a preparation phase for me. I call it a cocoon because I just felt like I slipped into nothingness. Like I couldn't find my way. I felt so disconnected. It was really subtle. It wasn't like I had like a sense of depression or anything. I just felt lost, really, really lost. And it wasn't until COVID lockdown 2020 that I received a sign that things were about to change very suddenly. So that's what kicked everything off.
Well, good. And good.
That's just when I started getting messages that something big was coming, and I knew it was something bigger than I could handle myself. I knew intuitively that I was going to need support. I was going to need help. I was going to need somebody more experienced to help me figure my way through this. So I started building a team just intuitively. I found a shamanic healer that was also clairvoyant, and he helped me put a lot of the pieces together. I also had a hypnotherapist and a numerologist and an astrologer on my team that, and they all said the same thing. They were all bringing the same information to me, even though none of them knew each other. It was really fascinating to see all these clues coming together from all these different directions, and they were all the same clues. So I was told in 2022, February, I believe, that I was supposed to write a book. And I wasn't a writer. I didn't know what I was going to be writing about. And then one night, I think it was in March, I was having one of those dreams that aren't really a dream. You know, I was having a meeting with my spiritual counsel, and they kept putting out these three words. And I was vaguely aware of it, but I did reach over and grab my journal and wrote down these three words that they kept spitting out at me. And the next morning I woke up and I looked at my journal. I barely even remembered the dream, and it was Canine Spirit Guides. So that was the title of the book. And that was the first time I knew what I was going to be writing about. So that was kind of fascinating. So
that's
it in a nutshell. It happened really, really fast. The book was written in 6 months, and it was nothing that I thought it was going to be about. It was completely different. It took me on a journey of very deep, profound healing as I began to meet the canine guides, and they put me through their healing techniques that they have to offer humanity. As they healed me, then more of my psychic abilities came through. And by the time I got to the fourth guide, I was just literally just channeling, you know, paragraphs and chapters of the book. So it really came quickly, very, very quickly.
So how long did you take to write the book?
6 months.
Wow.
From start to finish, yeah. It took longer for the publisher to do their thing than it took for me to write the book.
Well, so. I've heard of how it's an arduous task on both sides, and so hats off to you to get a book published. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a mission. Yeah, and that was just the beginning. I just thought I was writing a neat little book, and I was going to sell books, and I was going to go about my life. And it was maybe 6 months after the book came out that they actually told me that I was going to be doing, you know, changing careers and working energetically with people and utilizing the frequencies that the canine spirit guides had used on me. I was going to be utilizing their frequencies with my clients. So that was a big change I didn't see coming.
Hmm. Well, tell us more about the canine spirit guides. What does that term really mean?
Well, that's a good question. That took me a while to understand myself. These are, the canine spirit guides are the, imagine your dogs having a spirit guide, same as people have spirit guides. So the spirit guides are basically the intergalactic version of dogs and of all the animal kingdom, actually, because each canine spirit guide is represented by a dog breed and a wild animal from the animal kingdom. And the blend of these two animals really creates a strong dynamic of energy that they can draw from to help humanity. And the book, this first book, is about the first four canine spirit guides that wanted to be introduced to humanity. And they call themselves the Core Four. because they specialize and they focus on very deep core experiences and deep work and healing that needs to be done with humanity in order to prepare us the better things to come. So basically the shadow work that people dread doing or they're afraid of doing, and they make it really easy and fast, as I can attest to, because they put me through their program. What they do with my clients is they, one of the guides will choose to work with a client on any given day, depending on what that person needs. And these are all virtual sessions. And the canine spirit guide will identify what that person needs, and they will provide that person with some wisdom that they've been seeking, or just something about their spiritual journey that they need to know, maybe a past life. It could be something in this life. It could be someone who's passed over, needs to give them a message. It could be a dog that they have in their life, or one that they used to have in their life that is still trying to get a message for them. But they'll give them this insight, and then whatever that insight is critical to their spiritual journey, and they will, right after the sharing, they will go into a healing session with this person, and the frequency that they bring through on the healing sessions are very intense and strong, and they move a lot of energy quickly. So they have the potential to, and they call it an advanced healing technology. So the energy that they're using with humanity is something that we haven't had access to before. It's on a completely different level. So it works very quickly. And they oftentimes want to remind us that healing is not a process. It's not something that's meant to take a long time. It's not something that needs to be understood and digested. You just need to be open and willing, and it will happen instantly. So they move my clients very quickly through this healing journey that's quite strong and impactful, and has the ability to take us so much quicker into the next part of our life, you know, instead of circling and, you know, trying to cognitively understand what happened, because that's really not necessary. We don't need to know. We just need to be willing to heal it.
Tell me more about these guys. I mean, are they people or are they the souls of people? Are they the representations of angels? Are they a different group in the spiritual realm? Who exactly are the guides? It's very fascinating to me.
They're not people. They're not anything we've encountered before. I'm still learning about them. They are very benevolent beings that are devoted to assisting humanity on our journey to ascension and in helping Earth shift to its next phase. They are a conglomeration of the canine animal kingdom and the shamanic wild animal kingdom. So each guide has a dog breed and a wild animal that it associates with, depending on the energy it wants to share with humanity and also depending on the messages it has and what it specializes in. So the first guide in the book is Anthea, and she has chosen the golden retriever and the cheetah. And the golden retriever is very significant of who she is and what she shares with humanity, because everyone knows that the golden retriever is happy beyond measure. Right? You've never seen a golden retriever that's not happy. And Anthea she shares divine feminine frequency. And what she does is she helps us reconnect with our divine joy and self-love. And she does this by healing those parts of ourselves that are blocking our ability to connect with that. So she will identify tags. That's her term, a tag that attracts experiences to us that are trying to get our attention around issues of loving ourselves and issues of not being able to experience joy. And in my book, I give a number of examples through the dogs that were in my life that were working with Anthea. For example, I just felt like, constantly felt like I was being persecuted by other people. And there's quite a few recurring stories in my book about that because she was trying to show that to me. She was bringing these experiences to me so that I would understand that that part of me needed to be healed. And the tag, like if you imagine like a sales tag on a garment, if that garment has the sales tag, then it's going to attract that experience that matches the tag. So if you have the tag of betrayal or persecution or nobody loves me or I'm not worthy, then that tag is going to attract those experiences. We used to say to validate how we feel, right? We used to think that was the theory, but actually the tag is just identifying, bringing that experience to you so you'll see it, so you'll understand that it needs to be healed. And, you know, when she works with my clients and when she worked with me, she told me that I had, and then she removed it and she healed it so that it was never to return. And that's what's so impressive about how they work is that it's a one and done. It's not something you work at and you gradually get there. If you have the capacity to embrace it, you never have to do it again. It's done. You just elevate to the next level. So that's what Anthea does. And the second guide, which works very closely with Anthea, pretty similar frequencies, except that he's the divine masculine, and that is Oscar. He's chosen the lion and, weirdly enough, the black and tan coonhound, which I didn't know much about. I had to do some research on that breed. That was a breed I had not had much experience with. But what he does is he connects us with our power, our divine masculine power, our voice, our ability to, our inner courage, and our confidence. So, you know, in my book, I struggled with these topics, these issues, because of my childhood, and then also we find later in the book because of past life experiences. And he was bringing experiences to me. He uses tags as well. So he was bringing experiences into my life to show this to me. He was bringing people in my life that would oppress my voice and not allow me, such as my father, not allow me to speak up for myself. And this created a huge sense of oppression where I just couldn't be myself. And weirdly enough, the dog that was working with Oscar in my life, I had two of them, were always very quiet dogs. They were very quiet, confident dogs because that's Oscar's energy. He reminds me of Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe books. You know, the big lion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
Very, very calm and a definite masculine figure, but he has a reserved masculine, a very peaceful masculine, not the masculine that humans think. Not the qualities of masculine that humans think is necessary, like the loud voice and the sense of dominance, right? And this is one of his points, is that we need to heal our masculine in order for it to line up to the divine masculine frequency and help to balance out our feminine. But this is what he helped me with, and this is what he helps my clients with, and he's just a really beautiful, beautiful, calm energy. And then we have the third guide, and when we go from the first two, Anthea and Oscar, we then jump to Oregon, and she's a lot different than the first two guides. And at first I thought I had written the book wrong because they had me write the book one section at a time. So I didn't actually see the whole book until I was done with everything and I went back to put it together. And when I was reading it all the way through, I read the first two guides, Anthea and Oscar, and they had a very definite system. They had their tag system. They had a very similar energy. And I jumped over to Oregon and I said, wait a minute, this is a lot different. There's no tags. The message is completely different. Did I do this wrong? They just kind of laughed at me. Oregon jumps to a whole nother level. Oregon is the Basenji. She's the dog on the cover of the book. She's the Basenji and the Black Panther. And these are both very powerful animals. And they go way back to ancient Egypt. Both of them do. And she has a different focus with humanity. So usually people will work with Anthea and Oscar first. They'll clear the shadow work, get that out of the way. And then she has a little bit more clearing to do because what she focuses on are the masks that we wear. And these masks are very subconscious. We don't know we have them. The ego usually erects them, and they are double-sided. So the outside of the mask is the version of you that you want the world to see, that you want to portray to the world. And the inside of the mask is a filter. So based on your perception of the world or anything, this filter will sort of control control your experience in the world. So if you subconsciously have experiences that make you feel like you can't trust men for whatever reason, something that happened to you in childhood or past life, then this filter will be in place. And no matter what happens in your life, all you're going to see is men can't be trusted. So this mask has to be identified and removed in order for you to be able to connect to your soul, because the mask stands between you and your divine connection to your soul. So that's what she did with me, and that's what she does with my clients, is she shows them this mask, identifies it, and then she pulls it off of them. And they can look like anything. They can just be eye masks. They can be full face masks. They can be like a shield that covers the whole head and all the way down to the chest. I've seen these masks be like a back mask because some people have been stabbed in the back so often. So it's actually on the back side of the body. It just depends. I did a group of 12 people and I had 12 different masks in the room. So it just really depends on that person's experience and what has been erected subconsciously. And she'll just go around and just pull those masks off. Now, some of them are really hard to get off. They've been on there a long time, and the psyche is really invested in having them. So some of them are actually anchored into the body. So she has to sometimes use a very specific amount of frequency to get it to disengage. But it's just beautiful when that mask comes off, because then you see life completely differently. You can see colors differently. You can hear sounds differently. It's literally like a rebirth. It's like a new lease on life. And you have now much clearer access, cleaner access to your divine soul. And I had not met my soul until I worked with Oregon, and it just blew me away. I didn't realize that was me. It was huge and very powerful. I thought, you know, honestly, I thought I was in the presence of God when I saw that, when I was in that space with that energy. It was so peaceful and so pure and so full of love and joy. I was crying just because it was so incredible. And I said, is this God? I mean, this has got to be God. And I was told, no, this is you. So that was a major eye-opening experience. And I know from that experience that if humanity walked around the planet connected to their soul like what I experienced, there would be no violence. There would be no hatred. There would be no killing, robbing, stealing. Because when you are in your soul's space, the only thing that's possible is love and joy. That's it. That's it. Like nothing else, there's room for nothing else. It wasn't even possible. So that's why her job is so important, because in order for humanity to heal, that's where we need to go. So she's very special to me. And the dog in the book that worked, that brought Oregon to me, was also incredibly special. When you read her section, I think you'll understand why, but she was my heart dog, and there will be no other dog that ever has my heart as much as she did. But so Oregon is the third guide. The fourth of the core four is a very special, incredible canine spirit guide, and that's the one that's with my dog now. I have a corgi right now. Her name is Gigi. If you follow me on social media, everyone has seen her. She's on my TV interviews. She's just a ham for the camera. but she is very special. And the last one is he has three names. All the other guys had one name. And when I got to this one, they made me go in order. When I got to him, being the last guide, he really put me through my paces, because his name was very difficult for me. I only speak English. And he had a three-part name that was not English. So okay. I struggled to say it. And then I had to have someone help me spell it, because I had no idea. But his name is Daman Yararan Erik. And I just call him Erik for short, because that's really hard to say. But the reason he has such a name is because he is even a huge leap above the first three. He's chosen the bald eagle and the pug, which is a really strange combination. And when I work with his energy, I find it ironic, because I find him very similar to Frank the Pug in the Men in Black movies. Did you see that movie?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, the pug that's the alien?
Oh, yeah.
Has
he's
a real
got
arrogant.
A real attitude.
Yep. Yeah.
Real attitude.
Yeah. That's what this guy is kind of like. And I mean, it's all very divine, but he also, by the time you get to his level where he can help you, you're ready for some serious work. So he's really not invested in human qualities of life. So the dogs that are working with this canine guide tend to be not very affectionate. Like I demonstrate in the three dogs I've had that were working with Erik in my life, they're all three different breeds, but they're all exactly the same personality. They were not affectionate. They don't like to perform on command. They are devoted and they are obedient, but you can't turn them into competition dogs because they work in their own time. So they're just a very different kind of dog. To me, they're not the unconditional love kind of dog, because they seem to withhold their affection for certain reasons. So mm-hmm. they kind of put a wrench in the works as far as what we understand canines to be. But there's a reason for it, and it's because they're not here to play games. They're here to get their work done. They're here to get you to that next level. It's very serious work. It's something you need to focus on and not get distracted. So the guide really reflects that. And this guide is let's see, they all have job titles. His job title is the, he's like the intergalactic shaman. He helps us manage our physical human self with our intergalactic self. So when you work with him, there's going to be not only past lives that you discover, but also intergalactic lives from other dimensions, from other solar systems, you know, from other galaxies. He has the capacity to take you there and show you what you need to know. And he's also an escort and a guardian. So as you work with him, you are protected within the quantum realm. You have his guidance, and he will take you exactly, specifically where you need to go so you don't get lost. He's very good at his job. And what's so ironic about this is I got this corgi puppy when she was 9 weeks old. She started calling to me about maybe six months before I knew I was going to write the book. She made me come find her, and I didn't want another dog. I wasn't going to get another dog. But she started calling to me because this was Attic planning on working with me. So she's with me anytime I'm meditating, anytime I'm working with a client, anytime I'm sleeping, because I'm always in the quantum field when I'm sleeping, and also when I'm working. And what's so funny is she appears to be sleeping at my feet, but I will tell you, I could spend all day in my office working with clients, doing energetic work, and she'll be there with me all day, sleep at my feet. And when I get done, you'd think that she'd be wired for sound, ready to go play, do something. She's exhausted because she has been working with us the whole time. So, and I also discovered that while I was writing the book, I was putting in 17, 18-hour days writing the book. And the guides would get me up at like 2 a.m. to get up and start working. They would either have something they wanted me to download or write right now or, you know, however, whatever they had planned. They would get me up at 2 a.m., 1 a.m., 4 a.m. I never got to sleep through the night. So I didn't get much sleep for that 6 months, and I was never tired. And when I look back on it, I realize the nights that I didn't get much sleep, she was sleeping all day long. So she literally was sleeping for me so that I didn't need to sleep, was what they showed me. So that was fascinating when I figured that out. I had heard about that, like when the shaman do their walkabout, I don't know what they call that, where they go out into the wilderness for, you know, 30, 40 days, however long it is, and do their soul searching. I had heard that they have people eat for them or sleep for them so that they don't have to, or they don't need it as much. I was aware of that on the shamanic journey, but it never occurred to me that my dog was doing it for me.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that was fascinating. So Attic is very, very powerful. And when my clients get to work with him, not many people have made it that far so far, but he moves mountains very quickly. So by the time they get to him, they've already got all their base work done, and they're ready for some real ascension work, basically, is what it is. So it's just an incredible program, the way they've set it up. And each time I work with them, they teach me something completely different about how they work and what they're capable of. And I'm constantly in awe of what they're showing me and what they're offering humanity. Incredible stuff. I've never seen anything like it before.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm glad that this has happened for you, and it certainly sounds like you are primed to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, it all happened as it was supposed to.
Obviously, one of the questions that we all discussed is there are people out there who are animal communicators. This certainly does seem different because the animal communicators seem to talk to the core of the animal, the animal's mm-hmm. consciousness, not so much a separate guide in the background.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they won't let me speak to the animals very much because they don't. There's too many people that do that already, and this is mm-hmm. my specialty. And what they shared with me, and I've been fortunate enough that I have met myself on a higher timeline, a version of myself on a higher timeline. And what I've discovered is I have served this role in all dimensions. So I mm-hmm. am their translator, their guardian, their escort. And when I saw my, not my higher self, but my, it's like a parallel timeline, if you mm-hmm. if you're following me there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. She is in a higher vibrational frequency than I am currently. And when I visited her, she sent for me, and I saw her with all of these interdimensional animals. She was their caregiver, and she was organizing who was coming to work with them, and you know, whether they passed security checks or whatnot, because she was very protective of these animal frequencies. And I just got a glimpse of basically my future, which was really incredible and powerful. But that's what they showed me. That's what my role is. So they don't want me doing the animal communication because people do that already. And I'm the only one that can do mm-hmm. this work right now. So it's a little bit different.
Well, let's talk about what you do for clients. So if
yeah.
people listening want to get a hold of you, how do they find you? How do they learn more about you? And what do you do in a session with them?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so everyone finds me on my webpage, which is my name, heatherleestrom.com. So it's HEATHERLEIGHSTROM.com. And I do private sessions that are 90 minutes. And I also do group events, which I do have a group event coming up this Sunday with Anthea and Oscar, and it's the Congruent Divine Union Activation. So they're going to be healing and reinstating the divine feminine and masculine parts of humanity. It's a half-day workshop. It's going to be 5 hours of healing. There's going to be 3 healing sessions within these 5 hours, and also discussion and coaching, and it's going to be an incredible experience. They keep previewing me what they're going to be providing during the workshop. Also, I do have a podcast on YouTube where I share messages from the Canine Spirit Guides, and then they also offer a healing portion in the podcast around whatever message was shared. So you can actually experience the frequency of the Canine Guides that way. That's a free podcast, and you'll find that link on my website as well. And the sessions are really unique, I think. When I get someone on my schedule, all I get is a name. And before I meet with that person, I will connect with their energy, and I'll get a download from the Canine Spirit Guides before I meet with the person. So they'll tell me what that person needs to know. Like I mentioned before, it could be something about their childhood. It could be about a previous life. It could be questions they've been asking lately. It could be something completely obscure and they don't even know that they need to know. I just never know what's going to come through. And I'll also find out which canine guide is wanting to work with that person. And I'll get a little bit of a clue as far as what the healing's going to be in that session. But they've stopped and I don't need to know it anymore. They used to give me a preview of the whole thing, but now I don't need to know it any ahead of time anymore. But they just kind of give me a clue of what's going to happen. And then I will connect with that client on a virtual call on Zoom and share with them what I've downloaded. And it usually makes a lot of sense to them and resonates with where they are in their life and answers a lot of their questions. And we'll have a little question and answer too at that point, because I'm still connected to their energy as well as the canine guides. And so I can answer some questions for them in addition to what I downloaded. And then we'll go immediately into the healing portion of the session. And that looks a lot like a guided meditation. I'm going to describe to the client what's happening as I bring the energy of that canine spirit guide into our space together. And most people can feel everything. Some people are even more psychic than me, and they can see a lot more than I can. And usually by the time I get my words together and get it out of my mouth, they've already felt what I just described or saw what I just described, because there's such a delay between the human brain and the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually really impactful and powerful. Typically people are really tired afterwards because they move so much energy. It's like a major shift. So it takes a couple days for you to come back from that and feel a little bit more normal, and then you feel completely different. I had one gal that I worked with that, you know, there's a questionnaire when they fill out, when they schedule with me, and she had said that she was really suffering with fibromyalgia for the last 32 years, I think. So I just made sure I addressed that with the guides and said, you know, this is what she really wants to focus on. And they surprised me. Usually when I do a one-on-one session, I'm only working with one canine spirit guide. And they decided that she needed a lot more work than that. So I had all four of them come in and work with her. And they did something really unique. They separated her energetic body from her physical body, and it was still attached at the crown, but they kind of folded it out like at a 90-degree angle. So two of the guides worked on the physical body. The other two guides worked on the spiritual body, and I said, well, how am I going to keep up with all this? I've never had four of you to keep track of before. And they said, don't worry, just share the physical part with her, and then afterwards we'll kind of give you a synopsis of what the other two did. So there was a lot going on in that session, and she couldn't even remember it afterwards. She had no memory what happened. And luckily the sessions are recorded, and I send the recordings to the client so they can review them again. But she said she was really tired for 2 days, and then after that, her fibromyalgia pain was gone, absolutely gone.
Wow.
And that was over a month ago, and she's still doing fantastic. But she was amazed. And another thing that they do that I think is really, really beneficial, when we do our sessions, they have me record the healing portion separately, so it becomes like a guided meditation. And they'll instruct the client, you know, how many times to go back and redo that, or how often to do it, when not to do it, because sometimes you don't want to do it more than once a week. Sometimes they want them doing it several times a day. It just depends on who it is and what it is. So they have them continue to work with that frequency to help maintain the energetic shift. One thing that I've found in my practice and with my own personal experiences, you know, when we go through a healing, an energetic healing, our energy literally shifts and moves to a whole different place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's the same as moving, right? And if you move and you don't fill out a forwarding address, then all your mail goes to the old address, right? And then what? You have to go back to your old place to pick up your mail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they have me tell people, is that you've got to be committed to that energetic shift so committed that you fill out that forwarding address. And this, being able to work with the energetic healing repeatedly after the session helps you maintain that forwarding address so that you don't backslide. You know, like most people will have a great energetic experience, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, everything's back to normal because they forgot to fill out the forwarding address. So, and they also had me set up a mentoring program as a follow-through with the sessions because usually one session isn't enough to hold you at that new frequency. They've got to keep moving you forward to get you to a place where you have some traction in your new address, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, you didn't mention it, but do you do seminars and sessions, both in person and online?
Right now, I'm only doing virtual. I'm trying to set up some places here where I live to do them in person.
Okay.
I just need to find the space that's appropriate for that, and then I've got to have enough people that, you know, want to do that. Right now, it's just virtual, though.
Okay. And if
but that
people,
means anybody in the world can go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was a lifesaver for me when the pandemic came, and probably 98% of my work went online.
Yeah.
If people have if people are generally in good shape themselves, but they have a pet who's in distress, do you also work in that situation?
Well, usually, that's a good question. Usually when the pet is in distress, it's a reflection of the person.
Okay.
So I did a session where the gal scheduled because she had just lost a pet and it was just killing her. It was just so devastating. She couldn't get over the grief. And what we discovered was that her dog had been caring for her an ancestral pattern that was associated with a vanishing twin that she didn't know about. When the dog passed, he did it in a way that was strategic so that she would connect the dots not too far, too much later and find her way to me so that I could help her eliminate the ancestral pattern. And then the grief is removed because the grief was stemmed because the dog had been carrying that grief for her over this vanishing twin she didn't know she had. That was what the grief was really from. So when the dog left her life, she then was dumped with this grief she didn't know she had. So it seemed like a really off, you know, long, drawn-out grieving process for the dog, but really what it was a leftover grief from an event she didn't know happened that needed to be cleared. So usually, you know, I can work with those people, but they just have to realize it's going to be about them. I'm not going to be healing the dog. The dog has got a message for them that needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I do a lot of energy and entity clearing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do a lot of energy and entity clearing work, and I always include the pets because I find that the pets will take on entities to protect their masters, and if they get too many, it can lead to very severe illnesses. So. The pets are always on my worksheet besides the people and the vehicles and the house and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. They are really ambassadors for humanity. I mean, their sole purpose for being here is to help humanity. Most of them. Like, there's a layering process for them. There's a maturation process for the animals too. Like they start out in this animal collective soul and then they graduate into their own soul. And those are the ones that are really actively working with humanity as an individual. Otherwise, it's as a collective.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a young child, I had a problem with some people lived on the other side of the block, and I'd walk past their yard. If I ran or rode my bike, they had a Cocker Spaniel that they never kept tied up, and that dog would come out and bite me. And I probably got bitten 3 times, and my parents called the police, and it didn't do much. And always kind of left me just a little bit gun-shy around dogs. I mean, we grew up with a couple dogs of our own who were, you know, very well-behaved. And but then I found it got re-triggered. I have some people living behind my house, and I was over helping them or putting in a new sink for them. It was two women, and they had a bunch of chihuahuas. And chihuahuas are very territorial, and one waited for his opportunity and came up and bit me on the back of my calf and drew blood. And I was not amused.
No, I wouldn't be amused either. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I think they need to be closed up somewhere else in the house. They're just too protective.
Yeah. Well, you just get a pack mentality like that when you have more than one, especially the chihuahuas. I've known chihuahuas to literally eat a human being. If you have enough of them, they will. They get into a frenzy.
Hmm.
And that's the animal instinct, you know? So
that's
the collective soul that's not been evolved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the pack.
little piranhas on four legs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be smart. You have to be smarter than the dog. Know when to run.
Mm-hmm. Well, something
and
we
so
should mention because
always...
we were talking about it. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's always a message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regarding that experience. So there's a message for you, and there's also a message for the dog owner. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
They're trying to
I was share. Just going to say, to the listeners that something else that's coming up, there's a chain of metaphysical fairs. It's called Body, Mind, Spirit, and they're going to be having a fair. They do it semi-annually in Colorado Springs as well as Denver. We just had our fair in Denver. The one in Springs, Colorado Springs, is coming up, and it's April 19th to the 21st. And I was talking to Heather Lee about the possibility of her being in that fair. So you might, if you plan on going to that fair anyway, or if you want to look online, you may see an updated program for that, that will show her and show her it with a booth number. So keep your eyes open for that. So that's hopefully a good possibility.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Absolutely. So where can people find your book?
Oh, it's easy to find. Of course, on my website, there's a link to buy it off of Amazon. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also an ebook on Amazon, and I recorded it myself on Audible. So if you like the audiobook, it's on Audible. And, you can find it anywhere.
Oh, that's great. Well, I hope that's very successful. As I said before, this is a new approach for me. And, you know, I've had over 650 guests on this show, and you're the first one in this area.
Well, yeah, I had to learn what I was. I asked them for a title. I said, "What am I?" You know, I don't feel like I'm a psychic. I don't feel like I'm a clairvoyant. I'm not a medium. I'm just a channel, right? And that's when they gave me the channel, the Galactic Canine Channel is my title. And they just gave me a new one recently of quantum healer. I didn't realize that what I was doing was a form of quantum healing. So that's a new title they just gave me.
Well, good. Well, the world needs every approach that it can take, you know, to help people in all different walks of life and different interests and different approaches. And, you know,
yeah.
I've certainly found that there's some clients out there who, well, I can do A, and I can work with a person who promotes A, but, oh,
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't do B. B is too far out for me. And
right.
So it takes all kinds to make a world.
It does. And, you know, a lot of people will do things for their dogs that they won't do for themselves.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, let's see. Let's talk about your websites again. So it's Heather Lee Strom, HEATHERLEIGHSTROM.com. And do you still have the other one, the K9SpiritGuides.com?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that website is really unique because it's dedicated to the book. And you can learn more about the spirit guides on that page. And there's actually, there's a theme song for each guide. So there's a little video that I did for each guide. It actually has a specific music on there for them that they chose that reflects their energy. And also in the video I made are examples of what that guide would look like in a dog, like expressions of the dog or the eyes of the dog or the energy of the dog. And that's how you would know that guide was working through that dog. So it's really like a tutorial of the canine spirit guide. So yeah, that webpage is, yes, it's very much active.
Well, it's kind of funny since you have one of your spirit guides named Oscar, you could do a little ditty with, my spirit guide has a first name. It's Oskar.
Oh, he'd get mad because that's not how it's pronounced. He wouldn't like that.
Oh, they got to have a sense of
humor.
Picky
about their names. Oh, they do when they pull it. Yeah, jokes on me, but yeah, they are pretty funny.
Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and thank you for being our guest tonight. It's been a joy having you on the show, and you know, want all of our listeners to get a hold of the website or get a hold of the book and learn more about this. This is fascinating.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, and come join me on Sunday for my workshop.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an incredible event.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best. And for our listeners, please join us for our show next week with Trevor Griffiths, author of Clearing Away, Unveiling the Mental Tricks That Hide Reality. Should be fascinating. Thanks for listening and blessings.
Great.
And yeah, have a great week. Take care.
Thank you.